You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We are your hosts, Evie McLeod and Lindsay Roman. Welcome back to another show. We are so excited. This is something that we do on the show pretty frequently. We do Q&A episodes where we ask you, our listeners, any old question about business, life, marriage, relationships.
Well, we don't ask you the question.
What did I say?
You said we ask you the question.
You definitely ask us the questions. And we
ask you
them.
To give us questions. That's probably what you intended.
That's probably what I meant to say, except I didn't say that. So that's what we're doing today. And these questions we asked in our Facebook group. So if you're not in there, the link is in the show notes. We also sometimes ask them on our stories, but mostly in the Facebook group. So we are so excited. And there's lots of different questions here today. We have questions on photography, marriage, content, lifestyle, being multi-passionate, lots of good juice. So can't wait. Let's get into it.
Folio Albums is a UK-based album supplier specializing exclusively in fine art printing with sustainability at the core of everything they do. The products are of the highest quality, handcrafted by a highly skilled team in their own Yorkshire workshop. They provide a free album design service and a range of helpful photographers' resources to support your business. Their exceptional client experience team are on hand for any questions or advice. You can even book a free virtual showroom session to check out the products and meet their team. Head over to www.folioalbums.com and use code HEARTHUSTLE40 to receive a 40% discount off a studio sample album.
Hey, hey, I'm Lindsay Roman.
And I'm Evie McLeod, and we are family and legacy-focused serial entrepreneurs and the founders of The Heart University, a business education company with a mission to help you thrive in your business and life.
Welcome to our Entrepreneur Cocktail Hour, where business and marketing strategies meet faith, real talk, and raw and life-changing conversations.
At the end of the day, we are all in this together, figuring out how to navigate the ups and downs, the messy and the beautiful, and everything in between. This is a community where you can come as you are, get inspired, and walk away equipped to build a legacy-filled life.
You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast.
All right, let's dive in. Q&A episode. We're gonna power punch this one.
Yes. All right. The first question comes from Maddie. Thank you, Maddie, I should have read the question first. I'll just get to it. Okay. She says, do you think gear is what makes you a good photographer?
We're off to a strong start today.
Thank you, Maddie, for that question. There we go.
That's what you intended. Okay. No.
Yes and no. Well.
No, but yes.
Okay, okay. We're being so clear.
I think at the end of the day, absolutely not, in the sense that you could have all the best gear in the world.
Yeah.
And you could
take a trash photo on like a...
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially Mark IV.
Let's just say you leave it on auto. Absolutely. Good gear is not what makes you...
If you gave somebody who was very talented, had been in the industry for 10 years, a Mark IV or like an R5 or so, whatever is like top, like a good camera, and then you gave a 10-year-old that has no skill whatsoever, has never touched it.
And the settings are like blank.
Yeah,
and
they on just both set of them.
But... Well, I think where we would say no is obviously your camera does not take good photos. I know that's a whole like thing in the industry is like, oh my gosh, your camera takes such good photos. And you're like,
it's like, no, it's me.
Thank you. That's like a whole thing. Obviously, your camera does not take good photos.
Like you do.
But
there's a difference between like,
let me just tell you. My first camera was a crop sensor and it came with a kit lens. My first camera was my parents' point and shoot.
Hold on. Can you define, just in case somebody is listening to this and is either not a photographer or is a beginner photographer and they don't understand what you just said when you said full frame versus crop sensor?
Yeah.
Get scientific on us.
I'm not going to go like too crazy.
Okay, don't
crazy
get scientific on us.
No, I'll go a little bit. Crop sensor is essentially where like the whole camera, every piece of like technology, the specs are a lot less robust.
In dumb terms, it's like it's zoomed in.
Yes.
But that's a very dumb term.
Crop sensor means it's like cropped in. So
if you have a 35 millimeter crop sensor, it will look like you're shooting on a 50 millimeter because it's zoomed in.
Even if you're shooting with a 35 millimeter lens, because you have a crop sensor, it'll shoot like a 50 millimeter. So it's much more cropped
versus
in.
Versus if you shot with a 35 millimeter full frame.
But the crop sensor, obviously, that's the basic, is it's like more cropped in. But there's also just the specifications of the camera in general are less robust and less like
detailed and involved and whatnot. So my first camera was like a point and shoot, my parents' point and shoot. It was perfect to learn on. It was awesome. And then I upgraded to like kind of an intermediate camera. So my crop sensor, and I got a kit lens with it, which is basically usually like an 18 to 55 millimeter or something. It's like a zoom lens, and it's like a 4.0
lens.
Like it's like a,
that only goes down to 4.0
on the aperture. So that was my first camera, like second camera, I guess. And on that camera, so my crop sensor, what was it? A 60D. I ended up switching from my kit lens to a Nifty 50. It was actually a film
I'm sorry. You used a film 50 on a DSLR?
I used a film Pentax 50mm 1.2 on my...
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm having an unlocked moment. You can use film lenses on DSLR as long as
adapters.
Oh.
Which I had to get an adapter for that lens onto my camera. But I had a bunch of film gear at that point. I've had film gear in my life for like 10 years, and I've just now in the last couple of years actually started actively shooting with it.
Because it's getting trendy?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a trend follower. Anyways, I'm not proud of that.
No, I am very proud of it. I will be like, yes, I listened to Taylor Swift, and I watched the movie Barbie, and I went to the Eras Tour. I'm a trend follower.
Okay, anyways, my point is my photos, even though like my settings didn't dramatically change or anything, simply shifting from like a kit lens to a Nifty 50, the dramatic difference I just saw in my photos from a single day, like my skill hadn't improved. It was simply my lens that had changed.
Yeah.
Was so insane.
Yeah.
It was dramatic.
Well, that's where the conversation of like, no, it isn't just this, or it's not the camera, it's the person. It's the person's skill. However,
your gear is...
If you have a significant upgrade,
yeah,
it will make a difference. And I think the biggest one that you can see visually is aperture. Like a lens that allows you to go to a lower aperture. Yeah. And then you get the creamy bokeh, which for, you know, if you're not a photographer, it's like when something's blurry in the background and it looks like a marshmallow.
What? A marshmallow? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I was thinking of something soft.
Oh my gosh.
No, I was thinking, it made no sense. I was thinking of like when something's in focus and you have a really low aperture and your background's really has bokeh, which is like the really creamy cream. Mm-hmm. I'm just digging the hole farther. I was thinking of like, you know, when you have a light in the background and it has an aperture that's low.
Yeah.
So it's like a circle. It's like a, it's like a,
it's called,
here's what it is. We're filming this around Christmas time. So it's like if you have a Christmas tree up and you squint.
Oh my gosh, Lindsay. Okay, so yes.
I haven't been drinking either. I'm just this way. This is me.
This is Lindsay and her best
days. So we got marshmallows and we got squinting. I just explained aperture for you. You're welcome.
Anyways, you explained bokeh, not aperture, but yes, sure. Okay, I think the point is, no, your gear does not make you a good photographer. However, your gear is very impactful in your final work and your final product. So I don't know if that's...
Take with that what you will, Maddie. All right.
All right. Next question is from Catherine, who said, how do you keep your personal marriages strong and stay connected to your spouse?
Okay. I have 5 million things that we could cover right now.
I also think we've done some podcast episodes in the past on marriages and or relationships. So feel free to go and Google the Heart and Hustle podcast.
Marriage.
Marriage, relationships.
That'll pull up something
pull
for
up
you.
Something.
Either go to Apple or Google when you do that, or Spotify. Anyways, okay, to answer this question in like a nitty gritty, like if I had to give the best advice possible in this minute, I don't know why I'm limiting it to a minute. I'm just, that's me.
Okay, go, timed.
I would say communication. Yes. Well, if we're backing up, making sure you marry someone with the same worldview is... Yeah, that's necessary, probably. Mm-hmm. No, that's necessary. It's not even a probably. That's like, that's necessary. Yeah. Because then I think making sure communication and honor, I think is top.
Yeah.
Every single day. I think the biggest issues that I've ever had with Andrew, well, that came out wrong.
Oh, like
that
we've spilling.
Had, that we've had like together, like the biggest like disagreements or fights have always stemmed from being not on the same page or not communicating.
Right.
Which can be fixed if you just communicate.
Yeah.
And if you are coming at the marriage and your life from the same perspective.
Yes.
I think.
I think to add on to that, my thought is treat in order to communicate well, in order to be on the same page, you have to be connected in the sense of you have to be best friends.
Yeah.
You have to be unified and
a team. That.
And to do that, you have to make time for it.
Yep.
So having intentional time set aside where you're not sitting beside each other scrolling on your phones or watching TV, times where you can talk and dream together and laugh and talk about your days. And there's so many little things that go with that of like building that connection. Like if one of the biggest things that I feel like I've always done accidentally, and I started seeing it, I'm like, I need to be even more intentional with that, is greeting Landon when he walks in the door. Mm-hmm. And like, no matter what I'm doing, drop what I'm doing and like go up to him and be
this
like,
is good.
Hello. You're like taking
notes. No, I'm just realizing Andrew really feels loved when I do that.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't when I don't do that.
It's like,
and I'm also the kind of personality that like gets into my zone and he'll come in. I'll be like, yo,
there's a whole thing talking about, it's by the Gottman Institute, or the Gottmans, who are like some of the biggest like marriage, studied marriage and relationships. Have you heard of the bids for attention?
I'm sorry, bids or bits?
Bids.
B-I-D-S?
Uh-huh.
No. I thought you said bits and I was like, where are we going with this conversation?
No. Bids, like a bid at an auction.
Like an auction, yes. Okay.
There's a whole thing and I'm going to absolutely botch it right now, but if you're interested in this and you're really interested in like your marriage, whatever, go research it. But it's basically where someone, you're walking with your spouse or whatever, and they studied couples where somebody would be like, oh my gosh, look at that bird. That's so interesting. If the other spouse did not actively give their attention, look up and acknowledge what the other person was asking them to acknowledge, they could almost guarantee that relationship would fail. Whereas,
okay, but I just get really focused.
No, I don't feel like, I feel like you do that when you're like locked in a zone. And then,
wait, I'm sorry. Just to clarify, if I'm on a hike and Andrew goes, look at this bird, and I don't look, I'm getting a divorce.
No. It's just like, it's the likelihood of divorce or unhappy marriage or relationship.
So it's keying into tuned in to each other and like, and honoring each other with like listening to what they say.
Whereas the relationships where somebody would be like, oh my gosh, look at this bird. And it's like something that looks silly or stupid. It's not like, hey, what decision do you want me to make? It's like, it's something that's kind of, it seems irrelevant. If the person would like look up and acknowledge and like,
I would look at the bird
and have a conversation about it or show interest or appreciation.
Okay.
Those marriages were always the strongest. They always last. It because it's building that relationship and that connection.
Have you read oh my gosh, I'm literally gonna forget it. What the
Are you good?
No.
Take a moment.
No, it's the C.S. Lewis, but not him. The Sheldon Vonnegut. What is his the sacred, no.
Oh my gosh. Hang on, my phone's right here.
Oh yeah, I had my phone. I could have sacred? No. Guys, everyone's at home is listening right now and they're shouting it at me. Sheldon Vonnegut.
I know what you're talking about.
I've read it. It reminds me of what you just said. It's C.S. Lewis's friend. Mm-hmm, it's real life. Mm-hmm, it's like a memoir,
I know. I know, I know. Hang on, I almost got
the
it.
The sacred.
Severe Mercy.
The Severe Mercy. Wow, not sacred. The severe.
Severe Mercy.
Have you read that?
No, it's on my list. And
okay,
I
need you.
I know. But I'm going to cry.
Listen, I don't care. Okay. It's Christmas time. I'm going to need you to finish it before December 31st.
Okay.
It's so good.
Okay. It has been on my list for so long.
It's so good.
Okay.
And it reminded me. Me
of
and Andrew read it on our anniversary trip in 2022, I think. We were driving to Arkansas and I read it out loud in the car. It was the best for like an anniversary trip.
Mm-hmm.
But don't wait till your anniversary.
Because
that's a long
ways
away.
I don't have to wait till my anniversary, but we do our dream retreat at
do
the end
then.
Of it. Which actually is a good point.
Have a dream retreat. Well,
no,
okay.
No, not like have a dream retreat. It's just like setting aside the time to dream together, to talk, to communicate. Okay, sorry, you were talking about
I had multiple thoughts because when you were saying set aside time to become best friends or to even just cultivate that, you have to put in the time.
Yeah.
Something that practically helps me and Andrew do it is like putting it on our calendar because we're just like planners with our weekly calendar. And so if it...
Well, also when you're busy with kids and like both working.
Or like weekly date nights, like you can just so easily forget everything. But anyways, back to a severe mercy. It's really good.
Okay.
That was so profound. Wow. No.
I've heard it's incredible.
It's obviously the story is about their love, but also like their conversion to Christianity and how C.S. Mm-hmm. Lewis helped with that. Mm-hmm. But their conversion to Christianity aside, even what they were doing before they were Christians, they treated each other with honor, and there's like, it's a story, but there's still practical steps in the episode, not the episode. Wow. This is an episode in the book that is like life-changing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So go read that book.
Yeah.
If you want to have a strong marriage.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the general, like, connection, honoring, communication, and just valuing the other person, choosing to respect them, prayer, God at the center, all those things.
Yep.
Hey, Heart Fam, interrupting today's episode to share with you a powerful tool to monetize your content in your business, Memberful. Now, this amazing platform allows you to create a new source of income by turning your content into a membership business. Forget about chasing the hottest keywords and trends to capture SEO rankings or pleasing the social media algorithm. Focus instead on creating content that you are passionate about and that your audience wants to see. Memberful has everything you need to get your membership program up and running quickly, with content gating, in-house newsletters, private podcasts, and so much more. They have so many incredible tools and resources and implementations to your workflow. It's amazing. You will have full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, your membership, and you will have access to a world-class support team who are ready to help you simplify your memberships and grow your revenue. One of the things we love about this brand is that they are passionate about your success, and you'll always have access to a real human. Get started for free at memberful.com/heart. That's memberful.com/HEART.
If you are loving what you're hearing on today's episode, then we wanted to share something else you might love, The Heart Shop. It's our digital resource online shop for creative entrepreneurs. The Heart Shop is your one-stop shop for all of our online courses, luxury website templates, PDF guides, social media graphic templates, and illustrations.
If you've been at your wit's end with your website design and you don't know where the heck to create a high-quality pricing or welcome guide to give your clients an incredible branded first impression, ooh, we got you. We created the Heart Shop to serve you with the best tools and resources you need to successfully run your business. Just head to theheartuniversity.com/shop and start browsing the goods. That's theheartuniversity.com/shop, and we'll see you there.
All right, the next question is from Lydia. How do you manage new ideas without getting distracted, aka focusing on what you've already started? I feel like the perfect person to answer this is Miss Evelyn Rupp over here.
McLeod,
but thank
McLeod,
you.
Whatever. Yes, I mean,
that was sarcasm. Could you tell? No, I'm kidding.
I could go into this so many ways from personal experiences.
Yeah, I made that joke because you
have started many things.
Uh-huh. And you like, you're like a true entrepreneur in that way. A
true multi-passionate.
So truly, how do you manage new ideas without getting distracted?
Here's my biggest thing. The four list system. I'm just kidding. But
we have an episode on that.
I'm kind of not. We have an episode on it. So go listen to the four list system. But at the core, it's keeping yourself very focused on what your goals are, what you're working towards and why. And then from that, when you do get new ideas, you can jot it down. You can allow yourself to dream, because I'm a huge dreamer. So I can allow myself to dream.
Especially anybody with that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
You're going to get bored.
Yes.
And want to do new things.
Yes.
Often.
And it's like assessing, you can either assess that this is not the right season and you can jot it down and you can know that that's a dream and an idea that you can focus on another time, or you can sit there and be like, oh no, something's really like shifting in me, something's stirring. This is the season and the time that I am ready and wanting to make a pivot. And then a lot of prayer, a lot of really strategic, you know, ideation and thought strategy and processing. I think at the core though, it's being so clear on your goals and on your why.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I get new ideas 5 million times a day. Like I have new dreams, new business ventures, new, you know, projects, new whatever, a million times a day, but it always comes and like I assess it and hold it up and compare it side by side with what are my goals in this season? What is my why in this season? Does this new idea align with it? If it does not, I'm going to go ahead and jot down the idea and shelf it.
Yeah.
And I have a whole bookshelf. I have a whole library full of ideas. I'm sure you do too. And it all comes down to, is this the time, the season? Does it align with my goals and my why?
That's what I was going to say, is pairing up every single idea. Just because you have an idea and even a good idea doesn't mean it's good in this season for you.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, good in a season in 10 years or in 5 years, or maybe it's just not for you and it's for somebody else. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I think just what you said is comparing it to, does this make sense for my life? And in order to kind of do that, you have to be self-aware and even ask yourself regularly, mm-hmm. like maybe quarterly or even monthly sometimes, like, what are my goals that I'm moving towards, and what choices in my life will get me there? Because I think so often people will start a business or even launch a new product or do something in their business, and we have been in this position many times and have learned from experiences badly, but like wanting to do something, and just because, like I said, you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And then when people can get in this hustle mentality of like, oh, I want to start this, so I'm going to. And then they do, which is beautiful. And it's great that we have the privilege that we can do those things. Yeah. But when you do that, then you start getting sucked up into, oh, wait, now I'm burnt out. Oh, wait, now I'm on this hamster wheel that I started and I can't stop because I kept doing things and I kept starting new things without assessing, does it make sense for the direction that I want my life to go in?
Yeah.
So
I think that's great. Those are my thoughts for now. I could talk about that for an hour and a half.
I know, but that was a succinct answer.
I love it. Okay, the next question is from Zan Sipley, and she said, I would love to hear about how y'all prep or plan content for your personal brands.
Okay, I'm laughing because...
We don't.
There was a time that we did.
For years.
But literally, if you're talking about like personal brand, aka like...
Mrs. Lindsay Roman.
Yeah, at Mrs. Lindsay Roman, at Evie Rupp.
Yeah.
I don't.
I
do it off the cuff now.
I feel like the only time that shifts for me is if I am
preparing to launch something.
Yeah, strategically launching something or doing something. Obviously, then I kind of shift back into really strategic.
But I think it's also because right now, at least, both of us are in kind of a season where we're not hustling and we're not pushing hardcore to grow our businesses.
To grow our brands, our pages,
If that were the case, then I would shift back into like planning out my content and really being strategic. And right now I just, especially as a mom, I'm just not in that season where...
Yeah, 100%.
Was that the question?
Yeah.
I would like to hear about how y'all... Well, technically the question is how we do it, but we're saying that we don't do it.
Well,
so if we did do it, maybe that's the question is.
Because I think we've talked, in my opinion, on this podcast, I think we've talked so much about how to plan and prep content and strategize content for Instagrams. I think this is coming from like, I would love to hear about it for your personal brands. And I think the best answer is we don't right now.
Yeah.
I used to very heavily, and I used to post every single day for years on end to my feed, as well as multiple stories multiple times a day for years. And now I'm in a season where I'm pretty much on stories almost every day. Sometimes I take a day off. And that's just what comes naturally and like fun and in the moment. And posting is just what I feel like, when I feel like. And sometimes I do feel like this little bit of pressure of like, I want to show up more. I want to serve my audience. I want to continue to grow. But for a couple of years there, especially when we were deep in the heart building season and the Evie swim building seasons, I felt this extreme guilt and weight for a long time on my personal brands. And I think you did too, because we did have to kind of set those aside a little bit more in order to really focus on building the other companies.
I almost compare myself to past me in like 2017 when I posted like, every single day.
Yeah.
And I go, how the hell did you do that? Well, I didn't have kids, which is pretty much...
It was also you were running one business with one product.
Yes.
And those were the seasons
but
where
we
grew.
I look back at my Instagram, I'm like, I was an inspiration pot every single day, just pulling stuff out of my butt. How?
Well, I think it's because we got like spread so thin for like so long. And
that's true.
And to be fair, while we still wanted to grow our personal brands in that season, our biggest focus was like the heart.
Yeah.
And we were not pushing our own photography. We weren't selling anything on that page.
True.
So it was kind of like that purpose wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously to show up and continue to like love and serve our audience because that's the best thing ever. But the priority was just not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, at least, it took me a while to really recognize that and be okay with it. And now I'm in the place too, where I'm like, if my page grows because of how, like what I'm posting and what I'm sharing, that's fun for me and aligned with the season, again, going back to our whys and our hows and our values. If my page grows, I'm totally fine with that. I'm not like against growing my audience or my page on my personal brand right now. But that's not
it's not your focus. Yeah.
It's not my priority. Mm-hmm. Like I am okay if I stick right around 40,000 followers for like the foreseeable future until or unless like that like focus changes. And I feel like you're in the same place.
Yeah.
But it took me a while. I feel like honestly, up until the last year, like the last year is when it shifted and I was like, I'm honestly okay. Before I was like, I need to get back to that. I need to keep growing. I need to get back to like active, you know, 1,000 followers
a week.
Well,
that goes back to the previous question of like, that action of mm-hmm. like, that's not necessarily a new idea necessarily, but it's still the same concept of
it's one more thing
something
to do.
That you're doing yeah. that you need to match up to. What are my goals with yep. my life and business? And does that align?
Yeah.
Does like, why do I need more followers truly yeah. if this is my goal? Like,
it's like, I need more followers just for an ego boost at this point because I'm not really selling anything
right.
to the point like so intensely that I need a whole new pool of people mm-hmm. to sell to. It's yeah. like, no, that would just be for ego.
I will
if
say
I was pushing it.
What if you are in a season where you're like, okay, well, this is great for you. I am in a season of hustle and I do yeah. need to push to like grow my following for whatever reason.
Or
and I
strategically
have,
market and really show up and serve and stand out.
I want to have
and,
a game plan or a formula to actually do that. The answer for how we do it is in our course, the Instagram Major. And yeah. I'm not trying to be like salesy, but that's the truth.
Everything.
We put a blueprint and how we plan out our content and we have a whole like formula for that, and it's in the Instagram Major.
It is.
Which you can buy it anytime.
So in
on
depth.
Our shop.
So in depth, so involved. And yeah, just it's what grew us
yeah.
so quickly.
I also don't know if we've ever said this on the show. It's always been in our show notes, but at any point in time, if you're listening to this podcast, if you use code podcast10, you get 10% off the shop. I don't think we ever said that. It's just there as a little nugget for you.
Oh, well, the hidden gem is now public information.
Yep, there you go.
Go use it. Okay. And the last question. Do you feel like that's good for
yeah.
that one?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Last question is from Aubrey. And she says, what worked when you and Linz were in separate states working together?
Wait, what worked?
I think it's like, how did you work well together living not anywhere near each other as business partners?
Okay, it's a quick four-letter word and it's called Z-O-O-M. Zoom.
For those who don't know, it's a video.
Every single person, Evie, that's listening to this knows. If you don't know what Zoom is, okay, yeah.
Get Zoom.
Just go do a quick Google and have your life changed.
Yeah. Anyways, I feel like at the core of what worked, what we did that mm-hmm. allowed it to work so well, because for anyone who maybe doesn't know our history, we became business partners when I was living in Ohio and she was living in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we've
so very different time zones.
Very 6-hour time difference most mm-hmm. of the year and 5 for the rest of the year. So very, very significant mm-hmm. time zone difference. I would be like finishing work as she was starting her work day, basically.
Back before we went... When we first started The Heart, before we had like a team and started to be smart and use Slack for office work communication, yeah. I would be like in the prime of my work day at like 2 p.m. texting and be like, what about this idea?
And
I'd be like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. It was very dramatic differences. So just for anyone, and then we obviously shifted to me being in California, her in Hawaii, and then me in California, her in Kansas, and then me in California and her in Florida. And now we are both in Florida. So
and we're neighbors.
A lot of, and we
Hence
are in the same
us
room.
In the
together.
Same room together. What a moment. How far we've come.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, dramatic distances between us through however many 6+ years of business mm-hmm. partnership. But I think the biggest thing is communication.
Yeah.
It's your business partnership, especially, or just working with somebody in some capacity, whether it's a team member or whatever, it's very similar to any other relationship that you would have in your life where communication is key, period. And yeah. it's like, we would communicate, hey, you know, I can no longer take these texts hitting me at 8 p.m. when I'm trying to like decompress and like stop my mind mm-hmm. from work and like getting ready for bed or spending time with my family or whatever it was. And Linz was like blowing up my phone. And so then we shifted to Slack. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was kind of like, hey, you know, Linz would have boundaries of like, hey, I don't really want to work. I don't want to get up earlier than like 7 a.m. or mm-hmm. start work earlier. Although there can be a couple exceptions. I really would like to start my day around like 8. That'll be my compromise. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to work a little bit later in my day. I'm willing to work till 6 instead of 5 or whatever yeah. it was. It was communication.
Yeah.
It was understanding each other's values and then being willing to communicate
Accommodate.
Through them, compromise. Yeah. And the goal was always for unified like growth of our company and for us to work well together. So it was never like, I've never felt in our partnership that, especially with something like this, like working far away from each other, it was never like,
it was never
me against
issue.
You.
The hardest issue, let me just tell you, here's the tea, is content photos. Every
yeah,
time we had to just like batch like psychos every time we were together for like a shoot
and
or
Landon
a course
be...
record. We were like, Landon, here's a camera. Here's 50 outfits. Go.
Like snap the shutter nonstop. Go, go, go. So many. That's no longer a problem.
The irony, though, is since you moved here, we have not taken a single content photo together for the heart.
And also, the heart it's has dramatically downshifted.
So we don't really need to.
So the amount, the years when we should have been neighbors and lived together as business partners were the last six. And now we are in the season where we are neighbors and the company no longer absolutely demands that we would be close together.
Well, now we have video that's going to like be the content of us together.
Yeah, that's true. So enjoy. Watch from YouTube. If you aren't already. Anyways,
that's the last question that we have. So hope that was interesting.
And fun.
We really enjoy these Q&A episodes. Yeah. So if you want us to do them again, let us know and we will. I always feel like we forget to sometimes just like throw them in. But we really like doing that.
But feel free, you can always send us a DM or something and be like, hey, question for a future podcast episode. Mm-hmm. We'll screenshot it. We'll throw it in our list.
We also have some ideas just like brewing always of like advice columns, although that's kind of similar to Q&A, but a little bit different.
Or even hour.
Just like story hour where you like...
You submit your stories and then we share them.
I've thought about like a... what's that called? Customer service. Or not customer, like... the service industry horror stories, because we've done photography industry horror stories, but just like, I want to know your deep, dark stories. That made no sense. But I want to know your stories of like what that time that like the Starbucks employee like screamed at you. I want to know that.
We want, and there'll be good stories too. Yeah. Like times when somebody absolutely blessed your day, whatever. Anyways, those are things that you can always submit. Come join our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's usually the Heart and Hustle Facebook group. The link will be in the show notes. I feel like that's usually where we do a lot of the polling.
Yeah.
And then feel free to always send us a DM, post in that Facebook group and be like, hey, question for a future episode. I'd love for you guys to talk about, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or just come chat with us. Send us a DM, YouTube comments. That's a whole new thing now in this podcast, which is crazy. It's really fun. Anyways, we love you so much. Thank you for tuning in to each episode. We are just so thankful to be doing life and business with you, and we'll see you on the next one.